Just before we turn to the Word of God, I've noticed so much recently how the Psalms just so address us through this season of affliction. And one of the great blessings and helps through this pandemic is listening to the Psalms sung and making melody in the heart. Though we cannot sing audibly, we've been singing, haven't we? In our hearts, as the Apostle, making melody within. And these have been precious to listen to the Psalms sung. And how fitting and how strengthening is the word of the Lord in this pandemic as we hear these words sung. Well, tonight we continue on in our series of 66 sermons in the Bible. And we come tonight to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. And by way of text, we'll read verse 16 and verse 17, but we will be considering the following verses as well, down to verse 22. But by way of text, Jeremiah 32, verse 16 and verse 17. When I had delivered the evidences of the purchase unto Barak the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Our Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Dear congregation, Jeremiah was imprisoned for foretelling the taking of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans. He faced bondage, where he was then directed by God to buy the field of Hamiel, as an assurance that a day of blessing would come. There would be the captivity, but there would be a day of blessing, and houses would be built, and people would dwell therein. But Jeremiah was assured of a day of blessing. Well, he made it known unto Barak. Now Barak, if you read through these words, was charged to keep the evidences of the purchase, the evidences. Now just come with me to verse 13. And I charged Barak before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, which both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. So Barak was charged to keep the evidences. Young people, what were the evidences? Well, I only came across this particularly yesterday, but the evidences, or the evidence, was the deed of purchase. But Jeremiah charged Barak to take the evidences or the deed of purchase. He had purchased a field, and there was the deed. And we see here that Jeremiah, with due care, made sure that everything was done to prevent an injustice. He was God's servant. He was called to serve the Lord in the work of the ministry, but there was this occasion when he would attend to a practical thing. But we notice his due care. And it reminds us in passing that a servant of the Lord must have a due care in such things, that everything is right. Well, having delivered the evidence, he turned to God in prayer. He was at peace at what he had done, and now he communes with God. As we know, there was difficulty, there was trouble for the Jews. And Jeremiah himself, he was suffering. But a day of blessing would follow. There would be days of bondage, but there would be days of liberty following. Matthew Henry wrote, In due time, a happy end should be put to the present troubles. A happy end should be put to the present troubles. Now, how relevant this passage is at this present time. For there is trouble in our land, and many of God's servants are perplexed and cast down, particularly some of the older ministers at this time. With what some are seeking to do, many an older minister is cast down. The older minister seeking to do that which is right. For such older ministers have my full support, near and far. And those who oppose them oppose this younger minister as well. These are troubling days. Things seem at a low ebb. One minister last night sent me a message, and he spake as he viewed the scene in this country of the weakening of the church. And sadly, we've seen it, the weakening of the church. There's much sorrow and upset, days of difficulty. These are strange days, young people, children. None of us older ones have ever been through a day like this. And it's our prayer you would never have to face a day like this again. These are strange days. There's trouble, there's sorrow, there's difficulty for the cause of Christ. But a day of blessing for the church will come. Jeremiah was at peace on this, and so am I. Now we consider Jeremiah was a wise servant in his dealings, a man of faith. But particularly tonight we consider he was a man of prayer. And here we see from verse 17, Jeremiah reasoning with God in prayer. Now in the second part of Jeremiah's prayer, he bewails the rebellions of the Jews and recognises the just hand of God. And when we come to prayer, so do we recognise such. The rebellions of the people and the just hand of God. It's evident at the closing of his prayer, he was waiting for the Lord. He had bought the field in faith and obedience, but how would providence unfold? Yet he was waiting for the Lord. Notice verse 25, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. He knew difficulty was coming, but he was waiting. He knew there would be a day of blessing. So there are some aspects of the second half of his prayer. But tonight, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider the opening part of the prayer, and just two things tonight. First of all, the adoring of God, and then secondly, the remembering of God's mercy. The adoring of God, and secondly, the remembering of God's mercy. Come with me to verse 17. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Our Lord God. Now he attended to that business, and he was faithful. He sought to do that which was right. And now he turns to prayer, and he's earnest. Our Lord God. He commits the situation. He knows a day of blessing will come. He's not certain how things will unfold, as we note in verse 25. But he knows a day of blessing will come. But for the present, there's trouble. So he's earnest. What's happening? Well, he turns to the Lord because he knows the Lord is the only hope for Israel. And the Lord is the only hope for the church at this present time. And the Lord is the only hope for this nation at this present time. Back in the spring, we bore witness of the pandemic sweeping in this country. And then there was a lull through the summer. But now the autumn's come, and things have continued on, and things have increased and deteriorated. What's our only hope? It's the Lord, isn't it? Oh, for the Lord. The Lord to give wisdom, yes, to doctors, nurses and scientists, that a vaccine would come. But ultimately it's the Lord, isn't it, overall, to bring this to an end. He's the only hope of this nation, and he's the only hope of the church. Jeremiah knew that the Lord was the only hope, and so, having attended to the business, he communes with God. Ah, Lord God, he's earnest here. He casts himself upon the Lord, and as he does, he looks up in adoration. Our Lord God, Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He's in difficulty. He's perplexed, but now he adores God in the situation. He adores God as the creator. And as he continues to adore God, as we will note in a moment, Jeremiah muses over God's wisdom, strength, power, mercy, and justice. Here was trouble before Jeremiah. He turns to God in prayer and he begins to adore God. And there's a lesson for us when in trouble, as we are at this present time, as the people of God in this nation, and as a nation as a whole, turn to the Lord and begin to adore God. Marvel at him, who he is, what he is like, how he's so merciful but also just. Oh, to be looking up, turn to the Lord and look up in adoration. Now there is worship here in the heart of Jeremiah, and he has a heart of affection. He's adoring the Lord here. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm. Think of this adoring. Now we can consider the particular word, and we're told there is the kissing of the hand. A subject may kiss the hand of the king in a respectful way. That's adoring, adoration. Many a man, and it may happen to you young ladies here one day, many a man has got down on his knee and taken the hand of a young lady or an older lady and who he intends to marry, and he kisses her hand and gives a ring. This is adoring. Well, as we think of adoring God, that's what Jeremiah is doing here. There's a heart of affection and he's looking up with respect. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. His heart is moved. He has affection within. He's embracing God earnestly in prayer. He's adoring the Lord. He has a heart of reverence and a heart of worship. There's trouble before him, but here's Jeremiah, earnest in prayer, adoring God and worshipping him. Well, as he adored God, he considered God to be the creator. Verse 6:17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, he's taken up with God. He's adoring him, thinks of what he has done. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm. In Psalm 95, verse 6, we see the same theme. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. There's the exhortation to come, to worship, to adore God, who is the Creator, to marvel at what he has done. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Oh, admire him. Consider he created this world. He made this world in 6 days. And how perfect, how good it was. Sadly, it was soon marred by man's sin. However, you consider the design. Consider how things fit together. Just ponder your eye for a moment. The structure of the eye. But then the wonder of the eye. You can see. I can see you and you can see me. And then the ear, for some of us, yes, it doesn't work so well, does it? But you just think the structure of the ear and that you can hear things. You can hear things which are pleasant. You can hear things which are not so. But it's amazing, isn't it? You can hear in the countryside the owls at night time, the cows in the field. What an amazing thing to hear. What a creator we have. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste. What a great God he is. Are you on your knees in your heart, as it were? Are you amazed at God? Jeremiah was. All this trouble before him. Days of difficulty for the Jews. But here he is. He He's adoring God. He's marveling at creation. One of the blessings of a cold winter's night here in the country is you don't have to stay up late to see the stars when it's a clear night. And are we not taken to consider God? Like the psalmist in Psalm 8, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Verse 17, "Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm." Secondly, in adoring him, consider as Jeremiah did, his wisdom, strength, and power. His wisdom, strength, and power. And that is a great help in affliction. When we're adoring God, to consider his wisdom, strength, and power. Notice the end of verse 17. "And there is nothing too hard for thee." There is nothing too hard for thee, or hidden from thee. And bringing this together simply, nothing is hidden beyond the reach of his knowledge, and his power could not affect. Nothing is too hard for thee or hidden from thee. Nothing escapes the reach of his knowledge or his power. Nothing is too hard. Oh, we think of his wisdom then. Oh, how his wisdom extends. And he knows all. He knows the state of this nation. He knows the sin of man. He knows the troubles of his people. He knows the sorrows within. Nothing is too hard for thee or hidden from thee. Jeremiah takes comfort. There's trouble, but he admires the wisdom. He adores God and thinks of wisdom. And he takes comfort. But then also his strength and power. Nothing is too hard for thee. We see it in the administering of justice, but also in the administering of mercy. We've seen the hand of God, haven't we? Like we've never seen it before through this pandemic, but also mercy. What strength, what power we see in him as he administers justice in the world, but also mercy. Yes, generally, but in a special way toward his people. Nothing is too hard for thee. We come against difficult situations, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. And he administers mercy. He knows our needs. He knows our downcast hearts. And he comes in his power to support, to strengthen, and lift up. Nothing is too hard for thee. Jeremiah, he knew there was great trouble coming. Yes, he's looking to the Lord by faith. He buys the field of Hamiel. But oh, he's cast down in his life. But he turns to the Lord in prayer. He begins adoring him. And he admires the power of God. Nothing is too hard for thee. And it's a blessing, isn't it? At times we can be downcast. What's going to happen? But then we begin to consider God. And we admire him and adore him. And we think that nothing is too hard. That situation which is far too hard for us is no problem with the Lord. That wall of difficulty that may be before you, that's no problem with the Lord. And so we can sing in faith, "By my God assisting me, I overleap a wall." Oh, the strengthening of faith, the power of God. Remember again those words in Isaiah 40, verse 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Nothing is too hard for thee." Oh yes, we can look out with our eyes. Oh, we can be perplexed and cast down. But then we look up by faith. And we adore God and say, nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art a great God of strength and power. We consider again those words in Psalm 40, verse 11, the shepherd with the lambs in his arms. He may be able to carry a few, an earthly shepherd. The great shepherd carries all the Lord's people in his arms. What strength. You know, when you're perplexed and you're downcast, and you cast yourself on the Lord, he's able to support you, but you're not the only one. All the Lord's people from time to time, millions upon millions, yet the Lord in strength is able to support them. Nothing is too hard. He's supporting Jeremiah. He will support you and me. Thirdly, in adoring him, consider his mercy. Come with me very briefly to verse 18, for we'll come back to this theme in a moment. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. It's the first half there. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. The kindness, the favour, the mercy, the pity of the Lord. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. Oh, what loving kindness has been shown in the gospel. Many have benefited through Christ. It's favour, isn't it? It's mercy. It's pity. You who love the Lord, oh, adore God for his mercy towards you. You've been shown the loving kindness of the Lord. You've known forgiveness. Psalm Micah 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, the pardon of iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy, and so, because of his grace, he pardoned all your sins. But note what we read here. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. So abundant is the mercy of God in the gospel. Not just a few, but thousands. And so, if you're without Christ, there's hope in the gospel. It's not just to a few, it's to thousands upon thousands. He has shown mercy in Iran. Thousands have flocked to Christ recently. There's a hunger for the word. In China, it's to millions. Years ago in Scotland, mercy swept through the glens and the islands. Many were shown mercy. In Wales, mercy swept through the valleys. We think of this particular time when we pray for South Wales. The virus is sweeping through the valleys at this time, particularly the hotspot is Cardiff and other areas around. The virus is sweeping. Years ago, mercy swept the valleys. Thousands flocked to hear the gospel, and thousands came under conviction and were led unto Jesus. Oh, adore him for mercy. Can you do that tonight? As you read these words, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. And I was one of the thousands. I've been shown the mercy. I was a poor sinner, but mercy found me. Mercy surrounded me. And in God's rich mercy, I was saved. What a hope it is here, isn't it? There's trouble before Jeremiah. But here's Jeremiah on his knees, adoring God for his mercy. There's hope. God shows mercy. And there is hope at this present time and beyond these days of a day of blessing. Because the God we pray to is the God who shows mercy, grace, favour, not just to a few, but to thousands. Fourthly, in adoring him, we consider his justice. We consider mercy, but we must consider also his justice. Verse 18, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. He's just. He deals. He acts against rebellious men. We adore God for this. The Lord is just in all his ways. No mistake. He acts righteously. He deals for the glory of his name. And we adore him for that. We praise him. Then fifthly, his greatness. Here's Jeremiah. He adores God for his greatness. Come with me now to the end of verse 18. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. The great, the mighty God. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Now, through this pandemic, we've been given the advice from the government not to sing, and we would seek to do what is right. But haven't we all still made melody in our hearts and sought to praise God greatly, though we haven't sung audibly together? We've sung in our hearts because God hasn't changed. We've made melody within because he's the great God. As I've been listening to the Psalms, my heart has left me, as it were. It's gone to heaven. Oh, we praise God, for he is greatly to be praised. And like Hannah of old, her prayer was heard, though she did not say it audibly, so our praises are heard, though we do not say them audibly here together. He's the great God who is greatly to be praised. Oh, is that not a help when we adore God for his greatness? He's the mighty God. Oh, we feel our weakness, do we not? We feel our weakness as the Lord's people in this land. But our comfort is we have a great God and we adore him. And we know therefore we'll get through this season of affliction and all trials. And we'll get to heaven, we who love the Lord, because he's a great God and we have a mighty Redeemer, the great, the mighty God. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Our Redeemer is mighty. We're seeing strange things. The church is at a low ebb, but we have a mighty God, a mighty King, and we adore him, and we trust him, and we know that he's working out the purposes. The mighty God, our great Redeemer. Oh, we adore God tonight. Trouble was before Jeremiah. He attends to business wisely, then he attends to prayer, and he adores God. Oh, let us adore God. Let's give him the glory. Let's worship him. Well, now as we draw to a close, secondly, the remembering of God's mercy. The remembering of God's mercy. Now, as we considered earlier in the second part of the prayer, Jeremiah is aware of the rebellions of the people. We notice that, do we not, in verse 23. But we consider Jeremiah remembers the mercy of God, verse 20, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as is this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. And has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, we read of rebellion, but consider mercy that had been shown to them. How sad was their rebellion in view of mercy. But let's, as we close, think, here's Jeremiah. He's remembering God's mercy. Mercy in days past. There was deliverance from Egypt. There was deliverance from the Egyptians at the Red Sea. They were hemmed in. Yet they saw the salvation of the Lord, and they were delivered. They were preserved in the wilderness despite their rebellions. They were led and fed. And the Lord in his mercy gave them the land. Did they deserve it? No, but it was promised and bequeathed in great favour unto them. Well, here's Jeremiah. He's looking back at mercy. In Exodus 15, verse 13, we read, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Mercy was the theme there. And God's mercy is the theme here in prayer as Jeremiah remembers it. Oh, what great mercy. What pity. Though they failed him. Now as we think of this, and here's Jeremiah in prayer looking back. Can you look back at mercy? Mercy shown to you. I can. In rich mercy, God saved me. And he's kept me and provided for me. He strengthened me for the battle and guided me through the storm. Mercy I have needed, mercy I have found. When laid low and cast down, mercy came and lifted me up. Psalm 94 verse 18, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And we've been there, we've been cast down, perplexed, and mercy came. There was that strengthening mercy. The Lord knew our weakness and so he strengthened us. And he held us, lifted up in mercy, strengthened in mercy, held up in mercy. I can look back and I can think of mercy, can you? Is there someone here, you can't look back and consider God's special mercy. Yes, general mercy, you've had food, a home to live in, clothes to wear, but you can't look back tonight and you cannot trace the hand of God's mercy in a special way if you can't look to Calvary. Repent of your sin and believe in Jesus, and mercy you will find. Micah 7, he delighteth in mercy, in that initial way, as also in subsequent times. Go back to the initial time. The Lord delights in mercy. If you repent of your sins, if you believe in Jesus, mercy you will find, and a vast ocean of mercy will continue to flow towards you. I knew one evening in spring, many years ago, I found mercy. I was on my knees crying, thinking of Calvary, asking the Lord to be my Saviour, and mercy I found. You will find mercy. The true believer can look back. Yes, the true believer can look back at times of trial, difficulty, times of backsliding and sin, but they can look back at mercy. Are you looking back at mercy tonight? Oh, there's trouble before us. We turn to the Lord and we adore him. And how thankful we are we can look back at mercy. You recall the stone Ebenezer. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. He called the name of it Ebenezer. We've known the Lord's mercy, his help. We can look back, hitherto. That's what Jeremiah is doing. Looking back, he's conscious of the rebellions of the people. But he's looking back to mercy and hoping in mercy. For he was assured that their blessing would come because he brought the field of Hamiel. Hitherto, are you saying Ebenezer tonight? I'm looking back on mercy. I praise thee for it. We can look forward as well to a day of great blessing. Sadly, there's a day of compromise before us. Weakness in the Church of Jesus Christ. But days of blessing will come. And we by faith believe it, do we not? Jeremiah purchased the field. In faith and obedience. He would wait to see how providence unfolded. But the Jews would return from captivity. There was a little reviving in the land. Why? Because God's mercy never ceases. And a day of blessing will come. Not because of the strength of men. But because of the faithfulness of God. And his overflowing mercy. Dear children here tonight, I desire as a pastor to encourage you to be optimistic. And you can. because of the mercy of God. Great is his mercy. Mercy he will show. He's showing us mercy in preserving a remnant. And a day of blessing will come. He will continue to show mercy towards his people. In Psalm 23 verse 6 we read, surely goodness and mercy shall be all the days of my life, every day. And what is true for the believer as an individual is true for the church as a whole. God's goodness follows, and so does mercy. So I am awaiting the day of blessing, like Jeremiah. And we can look forward to blessing as individuals. We adore a God. We remember mercy. And we go forward in expectation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's a precious thing, isn't it, to look back and but then to consider the present and the future. Yes, God will continue to follow me in his mercy and goodness. On a spring morning, a few years ago, my grandfather at his 90th birthday shed a tear as he read those words. He could look back, but he was looking forward. The God who had shown great mercy to him for many decades would show him mercy in the future and then forever. And we can look back, but we can look forward as well. And we can expect mercy. For his mercy never fails. His mercy never ceases. In a day of trouble, let us be wise like Jeremiah. But let us be on our knees like Jeremiah. And first of all, adoring God and remembering mercy. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. We turn now to our final praise. Our final praise is Psalm 46, verses 10 and verse 11. And the tune is Wiltshire. Psalm 46, verses 10 and verse 11. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen I will be exalted. I on earth will be exalted high.